Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Brachot, Daf Yod Gimel Amud Bet at the bottom, about to analyze the second Mishnah, which was included with the first Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. Baprakim Shom Ne'akavod. Now, Meshiv Machmat Mai, in Reb Meir's presentation, he said that you can initiate a greeting to somebody at the Prakim and respond. And the question is, responding due to what? Ilim Ne'akavod, if you're responding due to honor. So Hashem Mishal Shal Adurim Ibaya, if you're allowed to initiate a greeting to somebody you're supposed to honor, then certainly you should be able to respond. Must be that you're initiating due to honor and responding to anybody. So Ema Seifa, what about the second line of Rameir? Uva'emtsa, in the middle of a chapter, you're allowed to inquire due to fear, that you're afraid of the guy, and you can respond. So again, Meshiv Machmat Mai, where are you responding? Ina Machmat Mai, you're responding due to fear, so again, the same question. Hashtim Mishal Shal Adurim Baya, if you're allowed to inquire due to fear, certainly you can respond. Nekavod, must be Kavod. But Hanu Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, the Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda, Meshiv Machmat Kavod, Meshiv Machmat Mai, Meshiv Machmat Mai, the answer is Chasur Machzor Vachiktani. That there's something missing in our Mishnah, and this is as follows. At the junctures, you could initiate a request due to kavod, like a greeting due to kavod, and certainly you could answer. And during the middle of the chapters, you could initiate an inquiry, a greeting due to fear, and certainly you could respond. If you're a mayor, you know, and that's exactly how we learned the Mishnah. If you're saying Shema, and your Rebbe or another person who's greater than you encounters you, at the junctures, you could initiate an inquiry, and certainly you could respond. And in the middle, if it's somebody you're afraid of, you could initiate and certainly respond. Basically, what this added was that we see that our rereading of Reb Meir is accurate. So there was a Tana in Reb Chiya's Beit Midrash. His brother asked a question, or else it was the guy's name. Could have been that Achi is the fellow's name. That's how Rashi reads it. In any case, he asked Reb Chiya. B'halel uv Megillah ma'o she'afsik. We just learned the rules for Shema. What about when you're reading Halel or you're reading Megillat Esther? What about making an interruption? So Amrin kal v'chomer. Shall we say kal v'chomer? Kriyat Shema d'oraita. After all, Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah from the Torah. And nonetheless, posek, you do have these interruptions as per these divisions. Halel d'rabbanan mibaya. So Halel, which is d'rabbanan, and Megillat Esther certainly. It should be obvious. Maybe Hal and Megillah have an extra component of Pursum Hanes, which we don't want to interrupt. He said, no, you do interrupt. That's fine. Amarabba, so Rabba puts a little bit of a twist on it. Those days where we read a proper Halel, you can interrupt between chapters. But you can't interrupt in the middle of a chapter. But on days in which we are saying Hallel as a custom, and we're skipping some paragraphs, I feel on some paragraph posek, you could even do it in the middle. And of course, remember, according to Chachmei Sfard, you wouldn't even sing a bracha on that. Eini v'arav barv shva, equal the gabi de Ravina. He came to Ravina. It was Rosh Chodesh, and he was saying Hallel. Well, possibly he didn't interrupt to greet him. The answer is Shana Rabbi Shvat, Lachashir Lady Ravina. The reason is because Ravina did not hold this rabbi to be in such high esteem that he felt that it was important to greet him, even with this relatively minor interruption. So, by Mine Ashian Tana Devei Rabbi Ami Rabbi Ami. So now we have another question asked by a Tana. And this is unusual because Tanoim didn't generally get involved in the discussion. They were memorizers. But this Tana, in whose name was Ashian, which supports Rashi's contention that Achi was a name, who was a Tana in Rabbi Ami's Beit Midrash in Tveria, and he asked Rabbi Ami, Hasharui betanit maushi itom. If you're in the middle of a fast, and this is, Rashi points out, a private fast, not one of the regular, public ones, Achilush, can you taste food that you're preparing for later? Achilush tiya kabilalei. Did you accept upon yourself eating and drinking? Valeika, it's not called eating or drinking. Maybe you accepted a prohibition of any benefit from food. Ha'ika, tasting is also a benefit. Amrale toim bin machachlum. You could taste it. And the same phrasing, it's okay. Tanamihachi, we have a bright to support that. Matemet enatuna bracha. If a woman is tasting food in order to see whether it needs salt or spices, she doesn't have to say a bracha on the food. If somebody's involved in a private tanit, like a tanit chalom or tanit accepted upon themselves for some personal reason, they can taste and it's okay. Ad kam Rabbi Yossi tell me ad shir viyata. So we have the best kind of proof, Rabbi Amin Rabbi Yossi, who would take private fasts on themselves, would taste up until a revit of food, and that was fine. Now, Amar Rav, kol haten shalom l'chavero kodem sheet palel. This is a statement that's independent of our Mishnah, but we'll see how it is at odds with it. If somebody greets another with shalom before he davens, before he says tefillah, kilu asa obama, it's like you made that person into a podium for offering korbanot. Shenemar chidu lachem min adam asher neshama v'yapoki v'menech shavu. Shaul says, stay away from people who are breathing, because he's not important. Don't read Bame el Abama. You're making him into a Bama. Shmuel amar Bama chashavto lezev lo leloha. Don't read Bama like a Bama, but rather Bame being, why have you given him and not God the importance of greeting first? In any case, it's wrong. So in our para, in our Mishnah, we have the proper behavior, which is to initiate a greeting, even me'akavod, and that's before tefillah. That's talking about a case where you're on your way in the morning and you happen to greet him, and it's not nice not to say hello. Mashkil l'pitcho is what Rav's talking about, where you go out of your way and you go to try to find him and greet him. That's wrong. That makes him like a bama. You're not allowed to go do and work or deal with any of your work before you daven. Davening, of course, means shachrit here. Righteousness walks before him, and then God sets up his steps properly. So now here's the consequence of doing it right. If you daven first and then go out to do what you need to do, God will take care of your business. God will then set up your steps properly. Here now are relatively associated pieces. Anybody who sleeps 7 days and doesn't have a dream, nikra ra. It's called evil. Shenemar, v'savea yalin bal yipaked ra. And this is Pasuk is talking about the very opposite. Somebody will sleep a good sleep and won't hear anything bad, but the reason that we're reading is, Al tikrei savea, don't read satisfied, ela sheva, meaning sheva yalin, bal yipaked, ra. If you sleep 7 days and you don't get a dream, that's ra. It's the opposite. Savea yalin, meaning if you fill yourself up with divrei Torah and then go to sleep, in rasim to b'sorot throat, you don't get bad news. Meaning you don't have a bad dream. He reads the Pasuk straight up. And Savea Yalin means he sleeps Savea, satisfied, filled with Divrei Torah. Back in the Mishnah, we said, Eilun ben Aparkim, and we listed what the junctures are. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said, you cannot break between Emet and Hashem Elokeichem and Emet. Rabbi Yochanan, Lachak Rabbi Yehuda. That's the halacha. Demar ben Elohechem le'emet v'yatsiv lo'yafsik. Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, my Tamid Rabbi Yehuda, and what's his reason? Tichtiv Adonai Elohim Emet. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu ties Elohim, Hashem Elohim, and Emet together, so we should join them together and not break. Chozer v'omer emet o eno chozer v'omer emet. So now you're going to say Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emet, and now do you say Emet v'yatsiv as part of the next bracha? Rabbi Yochanan, chozer v'omer emet. You should. Rabbi Amar eno chozer v'omer emet. You shouldn't. Because you shouldn't repeat the word. Ha'u denachi kame de Rabba, there was a fellow who was leading the tefillah in front of Rabba. Shame Rabba dama emet emet trezimni. He heard him say, Hashem lokechem emet, emet v'yatsiv. So Amar Rabba called emet emet tafse v'hai. Boy, he's really caught up in truth. He was making fun of him, saying that he should not have done that. Amar Rav Yosef, kama ma'ol ya hashmata. This is such a beautiful shmua that I heard. D'chi'atav shmua bar Yehuda Amar. Amar Rava. In Eretz Yisrael they say the following. Arvit, in the evening, what do they say? In other words, they open up with the third paragraph. They don't say the rest because tzitzit, that's during the day and not at night. And then they say the last line, Ani Hashem Elokecha Emet. Problem, of course, is they mention Yetziat Mitzrayim. So they're setting up the bracha Emet V'Yatziv by saying the Ani Hashem Elokechem, but they left out the Yetziat Mitzrayim. So now let's see how this plays out. Amar Le'Abaye, my Malyuta, what's so good about that? Amar V'Kan Amar Av Le'Atchil. He said you shouldn't start the third paragraph. Mitchil Gomer, but if you're going to start it, say the whole thing. Maybe Vamartalehem is not called a Hatchala. It's still before the introduction. Daber Bnei Yisrael is really not part of the paragraph. This is what you should say to them. Vamartalehem is the beginning of the command. That is already a Hatchala. In Eretz Yisrael, they think Vamartalehem is still pre-introduction. That's the beginning of the text. So Abaye says, okay, Hilkach, Ana Natchulim Metachlin, and we do what they do in Eretz Israel, we have to follow their custom, and we start the Kamatchulim Arava. Kaiman Natchulim, and once we start, Migmanam Migamrinan, we say the whole thing, Dam Rav Kanam Rav, Vayatchulim Tchil Gomer, we believe our Talim is a Hatchala, and therefore we have to say the whole thing, and indeed we say the whole thing, and that is, of course, our practice. Chia Barav Amar, Ama Ani Adonai Nerechem Tzarech Lomar Met, Loma Ani Adonai Nerechem Eno Tzarech Lomar Met. He says that if you don't say that paragraph at all, then you don't have to say emet, because emet is the end of that paragraph, as it were, like an add-on. Ah, Rabbi Lad Kriya Tzit Mitzrayim, but how are you going to mention Tzit Mitzrayim, which is why that whole third paragraph is there? Damahachi, you separately say, Modir Nach Lach, Hashem Elokeinu, Shotzitah Mir Tzitzrayim, Betanah Betavadim, Asita Lanu Nisim, Grot Aleyam Asharu Lach, which is another formulation for what we have in that bracha, with the mention of Kriyat Yamsuf, and Michamocha, etc. So the next part of the Mishnah, Shimon Korcha presented why Shema is read in the order it is, which is out of the sequence of the Torah. So Shimon Yochai has a different take. He says, you know, Shema should come first. Because Shema is l'daber bam, to study. And Vayam Shemua is Shema is v'dibarta bam, study. And Vayam Shemua is l'daber bam, which is teaching. You have to study before you teach. Vayam Shmuel Vayomer. Vayam Shmuel is coming before Vayomer. Shizel Lomod Vizel Asot. It's a really long read. Vayam Shmuel is about teaching. Vayomer is about doing. You have to study and then teach and then do. Atu Shmuel Lomod Itpe Lamed Vasita Vasot Lepe. What Shmuel only has to study, not to teach and to do. Tiv Shinantam. You have to teach your kids. Ukshartam Uchtavtam. Put on tefillin. Put mezuzot. It's all in the first paragraph. Does Vayam Shemua not have any practice in it? It talks about Ukshartem Otam and Uchtavtam, Tfilin and Mezuzah. Alahachi Kamar. This is a reformulation. Bedinu Shektitam Shema Vayam Shemua. Shema should come first. Zelumod Ulo Amed Velasot. Shema has all three. Vayam Shemua Vayomer Shzei Yeshpa Lulamed Velasot. Vayam Shemua has teaching and doing. Vayomer in Velasot Bevad. Vayomer only has action, so it's third. Why didn't you use Rabbi Shimon Korcha's thing, which is about the development of your relationship with God? First you accept Malchut Shemayim, and then you accept Mitzvot. The answer is Chadavod Kamar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, that's good, and I've got another one. Right? Chadar Kadesh Gala Malchut Shemayim, Chadar Malchakach Kamal Mitzvot, or Mishum Deit Pahanim Mili Achronaita. Right? Now, Rav's practice was Mashiach Devakar Kriyat Shema. He would wash his hands in the morning, say Shema, Va'anach Tfilin, and then put on Tfilin. Vitzali, and then Davin. How did he do things in that order? This is a bright that belongs to the third parak. If you're digging a catacomb out for a mate who's actually there, waits to be buried. It's essentially like the first mission in the third parak. You're exempt from all the mitzvot because you're involved in Kriyat Mate. He gives man Kriyat Shema. Time for Kriyat Shema came. You get out of the cave and you wash your hands, put on tefillin, say Shema and Davin. So first of all, Hagufakash, there's an inherent contradiction. First you said the guy's patur, then you said he's chayav. So halokasha, safe and betray, Reisha Bachad. The safe is talking about if there's two guys, so they could swap off. One guy davins, the other guy digs, and then flip off. For Reisha Bachad, the Reisha, which says patur, is when you're doing it alone. But still it's a kasha to Rav, because Rav put on tefillin after Shema. The answer is Rav could be shown korcha sfirale. His first shot is that Rav is following Rabbi Shimon Korcha's schematic sequence. First you have to accept God as your king, then the mitzvot. So therefore you first say Shema, then put on tefillin. So Rabbi Shimon Korcha only meant what order to read in. Kriya laaseh misham alei. He didn't say that you read then fulfill the mitzvah in that order. Plus, he doesn't even hold that way. Rav Chiya bar Ashi, zinun sagin havei kaim nakamei to Rav. Many times I was in front of Rav. Umakim mashi yadei, umavarech, umatnu an pirkin, umanach tefillin, vahadakari kriyat shema. He would wash his hands, he would say birchat haTorah, he would teach us, then he put on tefillin, then say shema. So tefillin is first. Chitem berlomataz man kriyat shema, but if you want to say that maybe in that last case, it was because man kriyat shema hadn't come yet, so put on tefillin first. So what's his testimony about? What new information is he giving us? So maybe he was there to teach us that, remember on Daf Yud Aleph, we had the four-way machloket about what sort of study demands bracha Torah. So maybe he was trying to inform us that Rav would say the bracha even when he was teaching Sifrei Dvarei Rav, like Mishnah, or the Mishnah. But still we have a problem. So if we understand that Rav, the new information here may have been about Birchat HaTorah, but we still have a problem, because in the testimony we have at the beginning of this paragraph, Rav is described as putting on tefillin after Shema, and here, before. So the answer is Shluchu David. Simply, the case that we had at the beginning was one time it happened where he sent somebody to his house to get tefillin, and the guy came late, so Rav said, I gotta say Kriyat Shema. So really, the proper way to do it is, of course, to say, to put on tefillin first. Amarula, and this substantiates it, call a Kriyat Shema below tefillin. If you say Kriyat Shema without tefillin, basically saying, put on tefillin, but you don't have them on, kilu may do a check about smoke. It's like you're testifying against yourself. It's like bringing a korban olah without its attendant grain offering, or a shlamim without its nesachim, meaning it's an incomplete act. If somebody wants to have a full omachut shemaim, yifnei, he should go to the bathroom, v'toyedav, wash his hands, yaneach tefillin, v'kra kriyat shema mitpalel, in that order. V'zoi omachut shemaim tchila, shlema. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says it not only as the ideal, but the consequence. Somebody does things in that order. They did go into the bathroom first to clean out your system. It's as if you built a mizbeach and brought a korban. This is, of course, a couple hundred years after the korban. We're trying to find ways in which we can be considered as if we're offering korbanot. Pasuk Etilim says, I will wash my hands with cleanliness and I will surround your Mizbeach. So washing your hands with cleanliness and coming and davening to Hashem, it's like the Mizbeach that you offered on. Don't you think it's as if you actually went into the mikvah? It says, Achatz, I will wash, not I will wash my hands, but I will wash myself. So we have a shaliach from the Beit Din in Eretz Yisrael who came and said, Misha in lomayim echotz yadav, let's say you want to wash your hands for tefillah and you don't have any water, mekaneach dav be'afar b'tzor b'kismit. You could dry them off or like rub them off with dirt or with a rock or with a stick, and anything you can get dirt off of. So amalei shaper kamar, he said, good, why? Michtiv echatz b'mayim, that the pasuk that we're dealing with doesn't say I'll wash with water, but nekayongtiv, I'll wash with cleanliness, meaning kol midi demenaki, anything I cleanse. Rav Chista used to curse anybody who would waste time when it was time to be davening, looking for water and not ready to daven until he found water. He should be davening. That's only for Kriyat Shema. But if it's for tefillah itself, then you do have to find water. You have to wash. V'ad kama. So how far should you go? Meaning, if you're walking and you don't have any water, how much further should you go until you say, I've gone too far and I have to daven? Ad parsa. Parsa, we'll call it about an hour's walk. That's only if it's in the direction you're going anyways. To turn backwards or go out of your way, I feel the meal in a chozer. You don't have to go back even a meal, which is a quarter of a parsa. What can you infer from that? You don't have to go back a meal, but anything less than a meal, you should go back if you know that there's water behind you. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Gimel in the Perek. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.